Welcome, everyone. Good to see you and to hear you and know that you're here. Okay, so we are ready to go. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle Zoom call for 2021. Goodness gracious, this is June 17th, and I really want to thank all of you for joining us. Great to see you and see your names and phone numbers and beautiful faces. All right, so this is great. I'm delighted that Angel Honig will be with us, and she is here with us already. We usually have a little welcome and a meditation first, and then I'll go ahead and introduce her, and we can get started. So remember, of course, that you can always unmute yourself. If you have a question, press *6 if you're on the phone, and that I think works. I think if you press *9, that will raise your hand. Press *6 to unmute and ask a question. So these are amazing times we're in here, and I think it's really wonderful to be able to connect this way to reaffirm our connection with the vegan spirit, with the spiritual dimension of our lives, with each other, with the community. So thanks for taking time. I know we're all super busy now. There's so many things that we're trying to accomplish and resources that we're trying to incorporate and learn and things we have to do. I know it's, for many people, it's really a kind of a pressure cooker being alive right now, but it's a great honor, I think, also, to be on the earth at this time going through what some people say might be the end days, you know, definitely the end of something, beginning of something major. So, okay, well, let's go. We'll go ahead and get started. And I'd like to invite you, wherever you are, to take a moment and let's turn our attention within, in a way that's safe and responsible. And if you're out and about, you can keep your eyes wide open. But I'm happy to say I can close my eyes right here where we are and just turn our attention inward for just a few minutes before we hear from our special guest and her new book that's coming out soon. So as we take a moment, let's feel our connection with each other, with this circle of kindred spirits drawn together by our shared aspiration to awaken ever more deeply and authentically to our original nature, to our true nature, to be more effective in our advocacy for freedom and peace and justice and equality and harmony and joy in our world, to learn every day more and more fully and completely how to embody the vegan ideals of loving kindness and compassion and respect for all living beings. And so we give thanks for each other, for all the efforts that others are making. We give thanks to ourselves for the efforts that we are making, remembering that no effort is ever in vain. It all contributes to the bank, to the reservoir we have in our own consciousness of awareness and of remembering the truth that we are. So we take a moment now and just abiding in this present moment. The only holy moment is right now, breathing together. And with every exhalation, letting go of any thoughts, the past and the future, and entering more deeply into this sacred moment right now, where we dwell together. Our physical bodies are in various places. We are all right here, and for those who are listening to this recording later, you're also with us right now. There's only now. So we just adopt and give thanks for the inner smile, the smile of our own awareness and consciousness, as we give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth, this opportunity to grow in wisdom and compassion, to contribute in our own unique way to the healing of our world and to co-creating more awareness, more joy and freedom and abundance, not only for human beings, but for all living beings and for future generations. Feeling our connection with this beautiful earth and all the infinite variety of life forms here, all the ecosystems, giving special thanks for the oceans, these vast, mysterious, beautiful webs of life that span the waters of our earth, that give rise to the rain, the clouds, and to all life on earth. Give thanks for the oceans and the waves and all the beings living in the oceans, the coral reefs and the islands. We give thanks for the forests and rainforests and the prairies, the tropical forests that are under quite an attack right now, especially. Give thanks for the people who are working to help protect all these magnificent aspects of our home here in this galaxy, in the solar system, on this planet. And we feel our connection also with the eternal dimension of consciousness, our true nature, that was never born and will never die. The awareness that gives rise moment by moment to the physical manifestation of our consciousness that we refer to as whatever our name is, our form. Knowing that what we are is the far beyond that, the source of this expression. Remembering our true nature and remembering that that is also true for everyone, for all the human beings and all the animals that we come in contact with. We see beyond the form to the being, and we salute the beings, knowing there's one life living through all of us. So we just allow this, the light of this awareness, to percolate through every cell of our being. We see this light just flowing down through the top of our head, through our whole face and head and neck and into our shoulders, and just streaming down through our whole body, our arms, hands, and streaming out through our fingers, streaming out through the palms of our hands, and just this white light of wisdom and awareness, bringing every dimension of our life into harmony and into peace, into alignment with our purpose, as it flows down through our upper body, through our heart and lungs and upper back, and through all our internal organs, down into the middle part of our abdomen, and all the way down into the lower part of our body, into our pelvic region, just washing away any wounds, any fears, any delusions, any obstacles to the free functioning of our inner wisdom. And this light flows all the way down through our upper legs, to our lower legs, into our feet, and streaming out through our feet. So we see our whole physical body as a stream of white light, of awareness of eternal life, bringing every aspect of our life into alignment with our true nature and into alignment with our authentic purpose for this incarnation. And then radiating this out into our community and into the world as love for all living beings. So let's just breathe together, and as we exhale, sending forth a great wave of loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill for the whole web of life, for all living beings, for all of humanity, knowing that everyone is in their own way, unfolding and doing and contributing their unique piece of the puzzle. That we are all interconnected, sending our love and appreciation to all of the animals who are abused for food, the chickens and turkeys and ducks and geese, cows and pigs and sheep and goats and fishes and all the other animals, rabbits, there's so many who are abused for food, just sending a special feeling of love and appreciation for them, a sense of apology on behalf of humanity for our abuse and our ignorance. And we send our love and appreciation to them always, knowing that we are doing the best we can to always be a voice for them. And sending also our love and appreciation to all the other animals who are abused for other reasons like research or entertainment or other products. There's so many different ways that we humans entrap and abuse animals. So we send our love and appreciation to all these other animals in the past, present, and future. We send our apologies and send them our appreciation and benevolence and goodwill and the sense we have of our oneness with them. And so we begin to close our meditation now by again giving thanks that we have an opportunity here to be the hands and voice of healing and kindness, caring in our world, to do the best we can for the short time we're here, to smile on creation, on this beautiful creation all around us, to do our best to find the wisdom to speak our truth for the benefit of all living beings. And so finally we again come together as a circle, acknowledging and honoring each other, giving thanks for each other, for everyone who's part of the World Peace Diet Circle, and everyone who's part of the vegan movement, and everyone who's part of the great community of human beings working to raise awareness. We give thanks knowing that we are part of a movement that is awakening humanity for the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing that the momentum of this movement is growing every day, and that every day new possibilities are emerging for greater connectivity and healing for the benefit of all. And we give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, so thank you everyone for joining together in our time of meditation. And so I'd like to go ahead and introduce my dear friend and our dear friend. Madeline is also a good friend of Angel Honig, who lives, she's also known as Meenakshi Angel Honig, and she lives on Maui, in Maui. And maybe before I just say that, I just want to say one thing first, just to say so I don't, make sure I don't forget. We have one of our members, Julie Griffin, sent me an email just before, before our call this evening that she's had actually a heart issue for many years, and apparently it's just lately it's been getting more problematic, and she's in the hospital right now. She's being transferred, I guess, from one hospital to another via ambulance, she said. So let's take a moment and just send Julie, this wonderful Julie. She's been with us on most of the calls lately, and her husband, dear husband Fred, Just send her and both of them our loving appreciation, our healing thoughts of knowing the truth that what we are is eternal and that harmony is always present in our true nature and is manifesting in the physical expression. There are no blockages to the power of the infinite spirit of wholeness and truth that is our true nature. And we give thanks and celebrate that we are each, like all living beings, expressions of eternal life that can never have ultimately any disharmony in any way. Give thanks, knowing this is so, for Julie. Thank you. All right, so I would like to now introduce Angel. She's coming from, as I said, from Hawaii, and she and I go back quite a long way. She's the sister, actually, of Frederick Swarup, and he also lives on Maui and started a center there for healing. It's a vegan center. It's beautiful. It's full of peacocks and white doves. It's an amazing, magical place. I've talked about Swarup on the call before, and Angel, Swarup or Frederick, is a very beautiful expression of vegan advocacy. She's already written quite a few books, and she's a yoga instructor. She hosted a World Peace Diet training that we did in her home for quite a few people a few years ago. On our worldwide, we went around the world. We went to Europe and then India and then China and then the Big Island and Maui, and we did trainings. And she put one together. It was wonderful. And so she's the real thing. She's completely dedicated to the vegan message and to the World Peace Diet version, in a sense, of the vegan message, which is taking responsibility for our own spiritual and mental and emotional lives so that we can be effective in our advocacy by embodying that. So I'm delighted to say that she's got this new book called Solutions, S-O-U-L-U-T-I-O-U-N-S, Solutions with a U, Solutions, and it's 10 reasons to choose a plant-based way of eating. So I'd like to go ahead, Angel, if you can turn on your camera and unmute. I think you're with us here, and we can go ahead and begin our time. And feel free to ask Angel any questions you may have, of course. So there she is. All right. Hi, Angel. Gosh, you really are in paradise there. So thank you so much for joining us. It's really been so refreshing to be a little part of your process. I've been looking at some of the drafts of your wonderful new book, and I'm very excited that this is coming forth. The 10 reasons, you've been talking about the 10 reasons for many, many years. So if you could go ahead maybe and just give us a brief overview. I know the book is, it's a good 250 pages, and you have recipes, and it's the why and the how. But anyway, if you could give us a brief overview, perhaps, of your own essence of your message that you'd like to bring to the world as a yoga teacher, and help us to see what your new book is, the main idea in your new book is, I think would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Will, and thank you so much for hosting this platform so tirelessly for so many years. You're such a remarkable vegan advocate, and Madeline as well, in addition to Madeline being a legendary artist and in her own right being an amazing vegan advocate with Madeline's Intuitive Kitchen and her wonderful recipes on YouTube and your beautiful music and your amazing book and your tireless service. You're just such a remarkable blend of compassion and brilliance and stamina. I don't know how you do it year after year with these amazing, you had mentioned the program that I sponsored, hosted on Maui. And I was so amazed after Will did this like marathon weekend training at the very end of it, like Sunday night when we were all like ready to recharge. He went, drove to the other side of the island to give another talk on the Lahaina side. I couldn't believe it. And so thank you so much for your dedication, Will, and for your critical thinking and for being such an amazing model and for giving me the opportunity to share on this platform. And I also want to thank and acknowledge all my fellow World Peace Diet facilitators in this circle, because each and every one of you is such a precious, important part of the forwarding of this movement. It's been said that sometimes people have to hear the vegan message from different angles, different times before it finally sinks in. And so I know each and every single person in this circle is doing a vitally important part of contributing to one of the fastest growing movements in the world today. In fact, I was just looking on the internet this morning and it said that the vegan movement has increased by 600% since 2014, and it's continuing to accelerate at an amazing rate. So I'm so grateful that we're all part of this team together, what I would call the Ahimsa team. Ahimsa is a Sanskrit word that means nonviolence. And you were asking me the essence of my new book, which really is Ahimsa, nonviolence. So in the yoga way of thinking, ahimsa means to do our best to not cause harm in our thoughts, words, and actions. Now, the way it's stated, to not cause harm or to be nonviolent, is in the form of the negative, but I prefer to flip that over and go beyond just not creating harm, but actually consciously being a force for benevolence, being a force for loving kindness. So my book is about loving kindness, essentially. That's the core of the message. It is how to shift from the consciousness of domination and violence to loving kindness, cooperation, and collaboration. And it's that shift in consciousness that will really reverse all of the problems that we're facing today. And in my book, I highlight 10 specifically problems that that shift in consciousness will reverse through vegan diet.
Wonderful. So, gosh, you know, you've just barely scratched the surface there of the book and of your teaching of this this pathway. I know you're pretty well known for your activism in the yoga community, which is vegetarian. Most of the yoga community is pretty much vegetarian. But one of the things I've really appreciated about you is, and I see it in the new book too, is the insistence that we should really not be bound by traditions if they're not reflecting a deeper wisdom. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. So I had the astronomical blessing of meeting my teacher, a world-renowned enlightened yoga master, Swami Satchidananda, at the age of 16. I have learned so much from him. I had the great blessing and opportunity to serve him very closely. I even lived in his personal residence as the caretaker of his home in Santa Barbara and organized all of his programs for 12 years. I had the great opportunity to travel with him to many places and learned a lot from him, a great, great yoga master. And in the tradition with Ayurveda and the tradition that he came from, the idea was to be a vegetarian for the sake of ahimsa, nonviolence. However, it didn't shift over to being a vegan, because at a certain time in history in India, cows were considered sacred and they were treated in a sacred manner. However, that has radically shifted. In fact, now I'm ashamed to say that India is one of the biggest exporters of beef in the world. So that consciousness, unfortunately, has slid from what they call in the Yoga Sutras, sliding from ground attained. So the vital importance of shifting from being a vegetarian to a vegan. Well, first of all, I'll just share my own journey. So I was a vegetarian from about the age of 11. As soon as I realized what meat was, I didn't want to have any part of it. And then I, like many people, was under the illusion that dairy came from cows, that people knew their names and they sang to them, and there was this loving symbiotic relationship. And then in 1987, when John Robbins' book came out, Diet for a New America, I never even read his book. However, a friend of mine read his book, was deeply touched by it, and created a handout that summarized the key points. And as soon as I read the summary of those key points and understood the immense suffering that cows have to go through for us to have milk, I immediately became a vegan and never turned back. So then I tried to bring this consciousness to the yoga community, which I'm a very integral part of. I'm a yoga teacher trainer. So I'm like a senior yoga teacher in this community. And so I brought to them, if we are, first of all, I'd like to just back up for a moment by saying yoga, many people think of yoga as some postures, which is the asanas. That's just one eighth of the pie. Yoga is actually an eight-limb path that's based on ethical perfection, as outlined in the yamas and niyamas in the Yoga Sutras. So these 10 guidelines for ethical perfection, the very first one is ahimsa. So I said to my fellow yogis and yoginis, what we call gurubhais. Gurubhais means people who are of the same lineage teacher. And I asked them, how, if you know all this indisputable suffering that dairy cows have to go through, how in the name can you be teaching ahimsa as the number one yama niyama and then go out for pizza and milkshakes afterwards? To me, that's total definition of hypocrisy. How can you say one thing and then your actions do the opposite, which whenever you buy dairy, you're paying someone to torture cows and you're saying non-injury and then you're doing it. So there's what's called cognitive dissonance there, where somehow they're not connecting. And what Master Shivananda, my guru's guru, said, an ounce of practice is worth more than a ton of theory. So I tried to bring to my community, number one, on ahimsa. The second one is satya, truthfulness. Truthfulness means being true to your own true nature, which is peaceful, kind, compassionate. And paying someone to torture cows is not satya. It's not being true to your true nature. The next one is asteya, non-stealing. When you steal a baby from its mother after it's just been born, a baby calf, that is stealing. When you steal the milk that was intended for the baby calf, that is stealing. When you steal the sovereignty of a cow that's a living, sentient being and confine it in a stall that it can't even turn around, you're stealing its life. So I tried to point out on many counts, on ahimsa, satya, asteya, on many counts, that being anything other than a vegan is unconscionable. And so they fall back on, well, Ayurveda recommends dairy, and Swami Satchidananda was a vegetarian, but he was not a vegan. okay. Well, then I had to bring forth, because you asked me, how do I deal with this in my community? Master Shivananda, my guru's guru, who was one of the most enlightened yogis who ever walked on the face of planet Earth. He was a medical doctor, a great philanthropist, a prolific author. He wrote over 300 books. One of the greatest yogis ever lived. My teacher, Swami Satchidananda, did many things that Master Shivananda did not do. And Master Shivananda did many things that his guru did not do, indicating that yoga is an evolving science. And so I tried to bring forth some of these concrete examples. For example, Master Shivananda was the first Swami who ordained a woman as a sannyasi in this entire lineage that was thousands of years. Now imagine the ridicule that he underwent to make that change. But after he made that change, then Swami Satchidananda started initiating women into the holy order of sannyas to become swamis too. And I'm not just saying only this tradition, but rabbis also, in that, you know, it wasn't until very recently that there were female rabbis. So I'm saying in many faiths, we evolve as we go. As Maya Angelou said, when we know better, we do better. Okay. So I would give examples of how Swami Satchidananda, Master Shivananda had his head shaved, whereas my teacher Swami Satchidananda had long hair, and that's why he fit into opening Woodstock with all the hippies and how they could relate to him. So he evolved and did many things differently than Master Shivananda. Similarly, his students need to continue to evolve and do some things differently than he did. And I will conclude this by saying one of the things that Swami Satchidananda said, direct quote, verbatim, follow the teaching, not the teacher. The teaching of Ahimsa is what we're following here by evolving to veganism. And just because it's been done differently in the past does not make it right in the present and moving forward in the future, because conditions have changed. And this is where we have to employ what most people call critical thinking. However, I do not like that term critical thinking, because it embodies the word critical. And some people associate critical with criticism, and they think of this like condemning. So I would like to relanguage that term as discerning thinking. Yogic discernment. Yogic discernment means we need to implement a new paradigm that's really based on Ahimsa, the foundation of the entire science of yoga, and not base it on some obsolete traditions that violate the very principles upon which we stand.
Very well said. Thank you, Angel. I know it was, this is something that's been, we've been working on, you've been working on especially, I actually have too. I've been able to go to many different yoga centers, around the world actually, some in other countries, in India as well, and bring the vegan message and experience the resistance. And I remember, before I ever met you, you would sometimes buy 10 or 20 or 50 something, you know, the CD I made, Living in Harmony with All Life, and just hand them out to everybody and these yoga ashrams, because it helps, sometimes it helps to have it come from somebody else, you know, instead of it, you know, they can just listen to it while they're driving the car or whatever, and you're not definitely challenging them directly. You're just saying, well, think about this. This might be helpful. And I'm sure it's made a big difference. I've seen it myself when I've gone. The people are changing. There is an awakening. There are more and more yoga teachers are realizing that veganism is integral, and it's absolutely, like you say, it's absolutely essential. So maybe we could just close. I mean, I know I want to let people have an opportunity to ask some questions. Can you just say a little bit about your book, when you think it's coming out, and how people can get a copy, perhaps, and a little bit more about what the main points you're covering in there? Because I know you talk about all these things, actually.
Yes. Well, in the book, I cover 10 compelling reasons to choose a plant-based diet. And those reasons are, number one, animal welfare, because I'm an ethical vegan, and that's why I initially became a vegan. And then the second one is to reverse starvation, because it takes up to 16 pounds of grain to make 1 pound of meat, and if that goes directly into the people, we can end starvation worldwide. The third one is reverse water shortage, because it takes 2,500 gallons of water to make 1 pound of meat and 250 gallons of water to make 1 pound of vegetable protein. So by shifting to vegan, we can end water shortage worldwide, and 40% of the world is facing water shortage right now, so that's vitally important for life. Then number four is to reverse deforestation, which are the lungs of our planet. And if we don't have our trees breathing, we cannot breathe, essentially. I'm just narrowing it down to the very key points. Then how to reverse pollution, how to increase energy, how to improve human health. It's been shown that the number one cause of death, which is what one third of the world dies from, is cardiovascular disease, can not only be arrested but reversed through low-fat vegan diet, as brought forth in the great book by Dean Ornish, Reversing Heart Disease. They actually rewrote medical textbooks based on that, mainstream knowledge now. How to reverse modern-day slavery, because most people don't realize that animal slavery has led to environmental slavery, has led to human slavery. It's that consciousness of violence and domination, how it contributes to slavery. So I go through all these very important key points of the ramifications of our dietary choices. Okay. And then I go into the common alibis, the cognitive dissonance of all the reasons people give why they cannot possibly go vegan. And then I give a reasonable and compassionate plea response to how they could, cognitive reframing, think of that in a new way, so that they could have a deeper truth regarding these alibis that people come up with. You know, like, my mother thinks that my kids will be brain dead if they don't have meat. Or, you know, I want to make lasagna the way my grandmother made it because that's comfort food for me. And so I go through all these things people say, you know, all of their things. Well, you know, didn't Jesus have fish and loaves? Or, you know, people come up with all these kind of stories of why they can't go vegan. And then I address those concerns. Okay, then after that, I go into how to make a graceful transition, all about mindful eating, all about these amazing, delicious, vibrant recipes that make it so easy and delicious and wonderful to go vegan, and talk about how it's a higher choice, not a deprivation, and then how to arrive at your ideal weight, and how to gracefully age, and all these other aspects that are related to this in the book. So how people can find the book is through angelyoga.com. Eventually, in the next few months, it will be on Amazon.com. It will be on Barnes & Nobles and all of the normal sites for books. And I would just invite anyone and everyone here, if you want to connect with me, just to go to angelyoga.com.
Wonderful. I will definitely keep everybody in the loop about the progress of the book, because I think, you know, you've done, I think, a really good job showing some of the main things you're covering. What really comes through in the book is your spirit, I think, which is beautiful. This tremendous positivity and the emphasis on solutions, not just on problems. You know, showing that we have solutions to all these dilemmas that we're facing. So this underlying positive approach, I think, is really important. And plus, you have a lot of great recipes And we won't go into this too much right now, but I just want to say Angel is one of those rare people who eats no processed foods at all. I mean, so like nothing at all from a can or a bottle or even herbs that are dried or whatever. It's like everything fresh and whole. So these recipes, and we're not quite that far, but we're very similar. Madeline's very, very similar. We hardly buy anything except we just buy grains and beans, nuts and seeds and vegetables and fruits, and that's it. And a lot of it we grow ourselves. In fact, couldn't help it. This just came from, let's see if I can show you here. This is from our tree. You can see that anyway.
Wow!
A huge plate of figs.
Woo! I'm coming over for lunch.
Yeah, I know. They're just like pouring. so many of them. It's like this tree is so great. I'll talk about it later, but we have a miracle tree that we just planted it. Within a few years, it was giving a lot of figs, and then it got attacked by ground squirrels, I think, and they stripped the bark all the way around. And I called my friend who's a tree expert, and I said, what do I do? You know, this tree, he said, that's going to kill the tree. You know, I said, what can I do? Well, I just, you know, put some bandages around it and some wire. And he said, well, you said it's a miracle tree. And sure enough, I mean, it's been 3 years. It has given no figs. It's just been recovering from that attack. And now this year, it's just giving all these figs again. It reminds me of your brother, Swaroop, who has that breadfruit tree.
Oh, right.
That he gives so much love to. And so he says, if, when you look at my body, half of this body you see right here is that tree over there. I just love that. That's one of the most profound spiritual teachings. If you give love into nature and into plants, they'll give it back. And that tree gives more breadfruit than it should logically ever give. And he loves it and he eats it all the time. And so when people say, well, you know, it's the circle of life, you know, you got to kill an animal in order to have to eat, you know, it's just the opposite. The more we love and nurture, the more we are loved and nurtured. And I think that's the essential teaching that comes through in your book very, very well, through all these different chapters. You have a wonderful chapter, I think, too, I want to mention on bees and honey, because that's something that's always kind of confusing for people. A really good chapter on fish also, which is very important, I think, especially right now. And the oceans are really being attacked. And it's a great overview of all the different aspects and with a very positive spiritual kind of spin. So it's a kind of a book, I think, that you could give to lots of people, especially people on any kind of a spiritual path that would find it very helpful. So I'm really glad to see. I know it's a labor of love. It's countless hours of work going into a project like this. And we just wish you all the best. Does anyone have a quick question or anything for Angel before we move on? We have some other things I would like to discuss, but it's been just delightful to hear more about your practice, your path, the challenges you've been facing and what you're bringing to the world with this book. And we have a number of other authors here with us. We have, of course, Judy Carman, who's done quite a few books. We have Tammy Hay, who's recently released a couple of more books too. So it's really wonderful to see if the book's getting out there. Does anyone have, just raise your hand or speak up if you have a question. Press *9. I think if you're on your phone or unmute yourself and go ahead. Andy, go ahead. I think you're unmuted.
I don't have a question. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. This is so incredible. And you sound like a female Will. Thank you. So beautiful. Okay, because his books are the main ones I promote, but now I think I'm going to have to promote yours too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I do feel like I'm twin souls with Will, because when he says something, it so resonates as true with my deepest truth.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Okay.
Thanks, Andy. Great. Anyone else have a question or comment? Yeah, Anne?
I just want to say, Angel, how much I appreciate you as a yoga teacher putting out the vegan message. There are not many, you know. There's Jiva Mukti Yoga in
yes.
New York. And then there's, I'm sorry, I'm blacking her name.
Anna Ferguson.
Anna Ferguson, yes.
Yeah, she's a Cincinnati Right. World peace yoga.
Yeah. And there's so many yoga teachers that even, that are still eating animals as well.
It's tragic.
That's been my experience. So everybody who can put out that message as a yoga teacher is golden. Just so valuable. Just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. That's really true. You know, yoga is also growing, I think, by 600%. I mean, it's booming, and it's a great vehicle for veganism, I think, for, you know, when people realize ahimsa. And so it's very important. It's a great possibility, a great opportunity. So it's a great book to give to anyone who's doing yoga, for sure. Anyone else want to say something? Susan, do you want to say something? You have to unmute yourself, yeah.
Okay, thanks, Will. You know, Angel, I saw you on video somewhere sometime back and loved you, and so it's so fortuitous that I didn't know you were a Will Tuttle, a Will Tuttleite or a World Peace Diet Facilitator. Anyway, so after you did all that and taught them the connection with the yamas and veganism, what reception did you get and how did people react?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's a great question. It's a work in progress. So I've noticed at Yogaville, which is our main center, Satchitananda Ashram, Yogaville, Virginia, I've noticed there that they have more like coconut yogurt now and more like non-dairy yogurts in the morning. I noticed that they're having more and more like vegan options and vegan days. And one particular time when I was there on Guru Purnima, which is the day when you honor the guru, and I made a plea and I said, you know, honoring the guru, and that's when they have all the dairy stuff, like raita and Indian food and, you know, the yogurt and the Indian preparations with that. And I said, well, if it's really truly a special occasion, wouldn't it make it more special if we weren't violating ahimsa in the process? Wouldn't that be? So they agreed. They agreed to make a vegan version of lasagna and give people their choice. And so I volunteered to work in the kitchen as a server. And then I made the announcement before the meal was being served. There are two options, the dairy version and the non-dairy version, and that if anyone wanted the non-dairy version, please to raise their hand, and that I would personally serve them, bring it to their table. Well, I want you to know that the vegan version, it would like sold out immediately, like it was gone. And then even after people wanted to come back for seconds, they wanted to try the vegan version and it was already gone. It was like in such huge demand. And there were certain like whole tables, like there was a table of Israelis, for example, and the entire table wanted the vegan option. And so the point of the story is, and I just read today that Israel is the leading vegan country in the world, that it's up to 5% there, and Tel Aviv is considered, according to what I read this morning, the vegan capital of the world. And so the whole point of the story is that people are hungry, both literally and figuratively, for these new options, and the more we can bring them forth. So as far as Yogaville goes, it's not completely vegan, but I have seen that it's making continuous progress in the right direction, and I'm grateful that I can be an instrument to further that along to the best of my ability.
Thank you.
That's really great. Yeah, that's so good. Madeline and I have been to Yogaville quite a few times, and we're, you know, spreading the message. And I think you're right. It's inevitable, essentially, eventually. So, Tammy, do you have your hand up? It looks like. Yes.
Sure. Thank you, Angel. I really appreciate your work.
I know
Gabriel said he was speaking many, many years ago. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, one of my teachers. And he was speaking at a huge yoga conference, like over 1,000 people. And he was asking how many of them still, use dairy. And many of them put up their hand. He had the audacity to say, then you're not a yogi.
Ooh.
And the whole room went silent. It was just like so powerful. So anyways, it was just, But Sailesh, I'm working a lot with Sailesh Rao right now, Dr. Sailesh Rao, Vegan World 2026. And we've been asked to share a little bit at the World Unity Conference that starts actually today and goes through for about 6 days. I just put the link in the chat. And Sailesh challenged them all to go vegan for these 9 days of the conference, because he said, you know, if we're talking about world peace and unity, I would ask you to please consider going vegan. So wondering how many, you know, because there's thousands and thousands of people. And so we're really asking for your support if you would consider registering for that World Vegan Conference. There's always Q&As after. There's a lot of people speaking. Sailesh has been working with Chief Phil Lane for quite a while, and one of the interviews is on world peace and unity with Chief Phil Lane and Jane Goodall are in conversation as one of the workshops, but there's many workshops, and Sailesh is really asking people to support us. It would be 1 o'clock Eastern time on the 21st if you register, if you could come, because there's not a lot of other things going on. So he said all eyes will be on us at that time. So because a lot of them aren't vegan. And so anyways, I'll end at that. But thank you so much for your work, Angel, and for being such a huge piece of that. Yoga, I feel yoga went backwards a little bit for a while. It became a bit of an exercise fashion show. So thank you for holding space for people coming again.
Thank you so much for your wonderful comments and for the wonderful work that you are doing as well.
Yeah, you two are really kindred spirits, I think. I guess you maybe know Tammy spent a lot of time at with Gabriel Cousins and went through his master's degree program. So, yeah.
And I mentioned Gabriel Cousins in my book. I'm also a fan of his, and I've also met him in person here on Maui. And he's a wonderful teacher, and I love what he stands for.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, Tammy. It's so good to see you. And Chrissy, you have your hand up?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. I just wanted to chime in and say, Angel, it was wonderful to hear about your book. I can't wait to check it out. I have Tammy's book, and I love hearing about all the authors because I am an author as well.
Ooh.
And I wrote, I most recently finished a novel that I now have a great literary agent for, so hopefully it will be getting out into the world soon, but it does feature a vegan protagonist.
Oh,
and,
great.
She has a love.
Oh, you're just... Book. Okay.
Pardon me?
You cut out, your audio cut out for a minute there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my computer is funky sometimes. I was just saying that my protagonist has a love-hate relationship with Ashtanga yoga. So that features pretty prominently in the book. And she spends some time in Hawaii, you know, including on Maui. So a lot of parallels, although it's fictional. But I really, you know, I signed with this agent a few months ago, and which was a big step, of course, but so far no book deal. So I'm, you know, just please send your positive energy on that. I'm really just eager to bring veganism into the world of mainstream women's fiction, you know, and just inject it there. So, again, Angel, congratulations on your book, and I look forward to reading it. And I really want to visit Hawaii someday. I still haven't been there. But thanks, guys. Great to see you all.
Well, thank you for saying that. And also thank you for your book, because getting it out through fiction is a wonderful way, sometimes through the back door.
Right.
You know, that's why it's so important to get the message out in whatever way we all do. And there's no big or small about it. You know, my teacher, Swami Satchidananda, used the analogy of a car. He said, like an engine is big and a key is small. He said, without that small key, that big engine does not turn. And so there's no big or small about this. We all are doing a valuable part, whether it's through nonfiction or fiction or all the ways that we're each inspired through the seminar that you were saying, the 21-day global summit, etc. You know, all of us, whatever angle we can get it out there, the more the merrier.
Agreed. Right on. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you all for the parts that you're doing. And I also want to thank Dr. Will Tuttle, because, you know, when it came time to edit my book, I prayed very deeply and I thought, if I could have anyone, seriously, anybody on the entire planet Earth edit my book, who would be my number one choice? And Will Tuttle is my number one choice. And I am so deeply grateful that the universe supported me by allowing that to happen. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful to you, Will, for your excellent editing, superb, and your support. And deeply grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much. Really, it's a great book. I think it's the spirit gets through, and I know you worked really hard, so it's the least I can do to help out.
Yeah, but no one could ever imagine the countless hours it takes. Nobody would imagine, you know, on a beautiful sunny day here when my friends go, let's go to Hana, let's go to a waterfall, let's go to Yale Valley, let's go snorkeling. And I say, no, I have to stay home and work on my book. So I've been doing that, you know, during this whole time of the pandemic, and I just saw the pandemic as a karma yoga scholarship from the universe to allow me to write this book. So it's been an amazing time, this time of sanctuary at home, to write the book, and I'm deeply grateful for that. And now I'm hoping that when it comes out, that we can really individually and collectively make some new choices for a kinder, gentler, more sustainable world.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. We all send you our appreciation and love, and especially not just for the book you're doing, but for the work and for you, who you are. It's great. Thanks for joining us, Angel. And feel free to stay on if you want, or if you want to go, either one. We have another about a half hour or so. Right. Usually we go about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Thank you. I just want to say in closing also a thank you to Madeline, because I know that, you know, her support really helps your greatness and her vegan advocacy in her own right. So thank you, Madeline. Thank you for your part. Thank you for your beautiful art. I have your cards and I give them to people with your beautiful artwork. And thank you for your intuitive vegan kitchen on YouTube. I just saw a post recently about the borage tea and how you lovingly water your plants with the compost tea, and all that you do is phenomenal. So thank you, Madeline, for supporting Will and doing his great work, as well as your own individually and collectively. You're a dynamic team. And also I want to say that if anybody on this call wants to contact me, angelyoga.com, or if you want me to be a speaker on any of your podcasts or any of your programs or whatever, please feel welcome to contact me, because I do want to be a voice to get this out to as many people as possible.
Great.
Thank you, Angel. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
Hi, guys. We have time to say something else here?
Oh, I'm so glad, Carlos. I haven't seen you in it seems like in many moons, but it's beautiful to see your shining face from Maui also.
Yeah, how are you? Well, I'm happily at Leilani Farm Sanctuary.
Really?
House sitting for the guys while they're away. And
Laura Lee.
Yeah. Well, no, for Sarah and Mark.
Oh, Sarah and Mark. Right.
Yeah, out in Seattle. I'm at the main house.
Gotcha.
And, because I'm in the middle of looking for a place also, you know, this last year and a half or so with this virus stuff has kind of changed our path of life. And,
right.
But without going into that, Angel, thank you so much for all the effort you went through with that book. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. And, yeah, it is a really big contradiction for myself as a musician to be with an artist at a yoga retreat, playing music with them, And during the rehearsal, you know, we're singing the, you know, the mantra, Yoka Samasta, Yukino Sabantu, you know, that whole mantra, that, you know, stands for a hymn, so da da da. And, you know, then for dinner, for, they're having, you know, meat and this and that, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. You know, they're not making the connection while they're doing that mantra, and then they're going out and eating a bacon cheeseburger right after it, and it's just really baffles my mind, especially here on Maui, where it's, you know, a lot of fluffy vegan types, a lot of fluffy ahimsa, you know, that kind of stuff. But either way, you know, one thing I was thinking is the biggest reason, I think, and I've had like a year and a half now where I haven't been busy doing music and my magazine stuff and all the stuff I'm always normally doing, and I've had a chance to breathe, and not as much as I want. Yeah, I mean, too much breath, but anyway, one of the things I had a chance to really think clearly on is that a lot of this denial comes from, believe it or not, mom. Mom put stuff in our mouth that was considered love, that was considered our survival. That's why we're here. So how can someone like, oh my God, mom gave me this. How can that be wrong? Well, we all know it can be. Mom just worked with what she knew, what she was given. And back in those days, they weren't given a lot of information like we have available to us now. And with Will, like I said, your book, you know, The World Peace Diet, to me is like my Bible, and it's, if there is a thing in the Bible, and, you know, my friendships and relationships revolve around, if someone reads the first chapter of your book and is not vegan, then it's time to say goodbye for a while. You know, if someone can watch Earthlings and not go vegan, that's not a relationship, that's not a friendship I want to get started, you know? People that I know already, that's one thing, you know, you're kind of more patient with them. But as far as making new friends who are clearly, like, clueless, I don't have friends for my vegan, time for my vegan friends, like Angel, here on Maui to go hang out with. I'm not going to spend time and develop a relationship with somebody who's like, oh, but, you know, they're grass-fed. I'm like, I'm way past that. So, you know.
Thanks, Carlos.
Everybody are here in the group for even being here, because it tells me that you really all care. So, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a great thing. You know, if you give people the first chapter and they don't get it, that's a good indication. But chapter 5 will get them, I think, eventually. But I want everybody to know that Carlos, for many, many years, single-handedly, really, was publishing a magazine all over on the islands, and it was a vegan magazine promoting vegan living, and we did special. I remember writing articles for you, Carlos, that were specially, you had special issues devoted to veganism and yoga, for example, and really planted the seed tirelessly for so many years, and organized events, and it's just so great to see you, and thanks for all you've done and are doing.
We're not done yet, and but again, thank you for doing what you do, and Angel, of course, and everybody who's here in the group, because we all.
Yeah.
Make a difference, and you know, the biggest thing I'm doing right now is besides my business stuff and my magazines, I have my music project, and I'm promoting that now, and I have a song I recorded over last year and made a video for it that, you know, puts animal rights on the same level as police brutality and, you know, racism and sexism and homophobia and all that stuff, you know, and this political government corruption on the same evil level. And it's about, you know, the song is called It's Okay to Love Me. and it's on the website, monkeyswithdrums.com. And a lot of it we filmed here at Leilani Farm, because we filmed a lot of animals and people dancing with animals and interacting with animals. And we did it here and at Leilani's little rescue place in Huelo. So, and really turned out great. So if anybody can want to check that out, It's Okay to Love Me. It's a fun thing. It's got a lot of messages in it. And it could be harsh for some people, but we all understand.
Right. Great. Yeah, that's a, it's a very creative, very, very great. Yeah, thank you for mentioning
that. Can you put that in the chat, Carlos? So that, and could you put that in the chat and how we could get a hold of you?
Okay, yeah, all the information is on my, on the website. You can contact me and, but yeah, I appreciate if you guys can share the video. That would really mean a lot to me, because I'm trying to make it go viral, and I've got a whole, a whole promo package of what I'm going to do to promote this over the next, you know, lifetime pretty much. Although I've got a lot of other videos I'm going to, I'm making, but
for now. What's your website?
Monkeys with Drums.
Oh yeah, monkeyswithdrums.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Monkeyswithdrums.com.
Oh,
awesome.
I just sent that directly to one person and not everybody. So.
And the song is entitled what again? Sorry?
It's Okay to Love Me.
It's Okay to Love Me. Thank you.
Yeah, whether you're an animal, whether you're black or white or male or female, it's okay. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. So,
Thank you for your work. Thank you for your music. Music's such a powerful way.
Yeah. It's very powerful, and like I said, Angel might recognize some of the people in the video too, because I made it a home video for Maui promoting veganism.
Right.
And I think
right.
I did the website wrong. So, but anyway, thank you guys for everyone doing what we do. You know, those little animals need our help.
They do. Absolutely.
Aloha.
Thank you. Thanks, Carlos. Okay, well now, yeah, we still have some time left, and I wanted to open it up to if you had any questions or comments, anyone on other things, current events and so forth, and don't forget to check out the World Peace Diet resources for June of 2021, which has a few things. I just want to highlight quickly here. This quote somehow seems really important right now by Edward Bernays. You know Edward Bernays. He was the nephew of, actually, of Sigmund Freud, and he was brilliant, actually, in the field of psychology and really created almost single-handedly the whole field, which now is massive, of public relations and of how corporations manage their image. And this is his quote, it's kind of long, but it's not that long, I'll just read it here. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate the unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed. Our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires that control the public mind. So if we haven't seen a manifestation of that over the last year and a half or so, the power that a few people pulling the strings, controlling the public mind, and I think we've talked about this, I've been talking about this for 30 years, that really it's a small number of people that control what I refer to as a military, industrial, medical, media, pharmaceutical, medical, pharmaceutical, media, banking complex. It's really quite a small number of people. And yet, now we see it playing out even more, what's the word, more clearly and more vibrantly, really, I would say. We've been up against that with trying to spread the vegan message, how people, you know, 10,000 years of programming on one hand. On another hand, we have governmental agencies, we have banks, we have pharmaceutical industries, medical industry, and we have, of course, the fast food industries, the big oil, the chemical companies. They all have ways to encourage us and keep the image of animal flesh and secretions in front of us, so that it's well available, and we're eating a lot of it. And really, people in the United States eat more meat and animal foods per capita than probably any country in the world. So we have a long way to go to improve that, but we are making progress. But I think what we're seeing now is how this has been brought into another level, where we are finding that we ourselves are becoming the livestock. So it's not anything new in a sense. It's just, I think, more obvious than ever. So I want to draw your attention to some of the interviews that I did over the last couple of weeks with Marlene Nero, who's a World Peace Diet facilitator, and her radio program Vegan Nation, which is based in Worcester, Massachusetts. We did a lot, actually, about the boomerang effect, about the medical pharmaceutical industry, the medical tyranny that is being rolled out, basically. Animals experience medical tyranny. That's the foundation of modern factory farming, is a medical tyranny where they're hyper-confined and their bodies are manipulated through drugs, primarily. Otherwise, they would probably never survive in the horrific conditions that they're forced to live in. And so we're seeing a similar kind of medical tyranny being foisted upon human animals by these same industries. I also did an interview with Bob Linden. Some of you know Bob Linden, Go Vegan Radio. That goes into this also, and a lecture. This lecture was done a year ago, actually a year and a half ago now, in January on Long Island, the scary effects of food chain malpractice and their effects on us. So I thought it was like I was predicting the future. I was just saying, if we're going to insist on imprisoning animals relentlessly and routinely and abusing them medically, then we're going to find the same thing happening to us. Why wouldn't it? If we keep doing these terrible things to these animals over and over again by the billions, how is it possible that we're not going to find that happening to us? That's what happened. That's how the universe is set up. As you sow, so shall you reap. This is the basic thing. We can all see it happening in our lives, and we can see it now happening on the big screen of our society. And then I just recently wrote an essay. I've got another one coming, but this one is called Spooks, The Herding of Humanity. So I just encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to read that, that is kind of the essence of my thinking on it right now. I'll talk about it in a couple of minutes. There's also Madeline's new Intuitive Kitchens are up. There's quite a few other interesting items in the vegan world, and then lots of information of things happening in the human world of being imprisoned in many ways by the same industries that are imprisoning animals. So the Spooks article that I wrote, the essence of it is that I was thinking about it. It's like the way that cowboys, right, or shepherds control animals that are much more numerous than they are and much more powerful than they are, is what do? They spook them. That's it. That's the key. They figured it out thousands of years ago. If you just spook these animals, if you just scare them, startle them, they'll all kind of contract and they'll all run together. Wherever you, and you just spook them here, spook them there, and you can move them right where you want them. Put them right into the chute, going right onto the truck, going right to be hung upside down and have their throat slashed. They'll just do whatever you tell them. They'll go right where you want them to go by spooking them. And it's so obvious that this works very well. We're very similar. I mean, that's the basic point, is that we're being spooked, and we're being very skillfully spooked. But the idea is that you don't even have to be all that good at it. These animals are pretty, even if you're not very good, even cowboys that are not particularly bright can probably without too much trouble, control and dominate much larger numbers of cows just by essentially using these principles that they've been taught. So I really would like to encourage all of us in our vegan activism to be aware of the bigger picture of what's happening in our society. And I think always it's important to keep our eye on the ball as far as spreading the vegan message, but also to see the bigger picture of the routine destruction of the fabric of our basic freedoms. And I've seen it happening myself, and we've talked about it, you know, on these Third Thursday calls quite a bit over the past few months. But I think it's some people think it's going away. You know, we're going to get back to normal, and I think we are called to just keep a positive attitude and to stay brave and courageous in the face of this. To keep a bigger picture in front of our mind, that what we are is not just the physical body, that what we are is manifesting on this earth for just a few decades, to do our best to be a voice for the voiceless and for also for human beings who are in many ways being run roughshod at this point. I mean, people who are being harmed by this in many ways, psychologically and physically, medically, economically, and so forth. Are vegan. A lot of them are vegans, but most of them obviously are not vegans. So I think the more we can help people make these connections, that's really helpful. Most of the people I've seen who are trying to rally humanity to resist the tyranny are not vegans. That's the great irony. They go home afterwards and they eat meat, dairy products, and eggs while they talk about the importance of freedom. And so this is a big problem, I think. And I'm trying to address it, although it's hard to address because it's already enough that most people who are vegans, well, I shouldn't say most, but many people who are vegans are not questioning the medical narrative, the pharmaceutical narrative, which to me is shocking because it's been so obvious to me from the beginning that it's really the pharmaceutical industry is our main enemy, if we have an enemy. In terms of the animals having an enemy, it's the pharmaceutical industry. They really, even more than the meat industry, I think, are absolutely committed to animal agriculture, and through not only through all the testing they do of all these drugs and things and all the torturing of the animals, but all the sick people, all the pharmaceuticals that they actually inject into these animals before they are killed and eaten. So we have to really understand that pharmaceutical industry is enormously corrupt, and not only corrupt, but it's like the mafia. They're relentless and ruthless in the way I can't think of any industry that's more demonic than the pharmaceutical industry in terms of what they're doing and to animals and people and ecosystems. So to do the best we can to create alternatives, to take responsibility for our own health, of course, is essential, and to just do the best we can to spread the message. I'm so happy. I'm going to be traveling in a couple of days with Madeline on Saturday, actually. We're driving over to Sacramento, which is about a two-hour drive, and I'm going to be giving a lecture there. And it's ironic. They're having actually a veg fest in Sacramento that day. So actually, they're having one that day, but they refused to allow me to speak. I actually applied to speak at that veg fest, but they wouldn't let me speak because of my views on the pharmaceutical industry and vaccinations and all that stuff. They said, no, 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 no. So it's going to be one of these veg fest where everybody has to wear a mask and you have to social distance and all these rules and everything. So in a way, I probably wouldn't want to go anyway. But then we're going to have, I was invited by this other group of people in Sacramento, just out of the blue, and they're going to, so we're going to have an event, there. There's a woman who has a gigantic lot, land and a house and everything, so there's plenty of room. So it looks like it's going to be a really well attended. I think we're going to max out the attendance. And it's very interesting. And it's wonderful because some of the World Peace Diet facilitators that live in Sacramento are really working to try to mend the rift in the vegan community there in Sacramento, the, you know, this fight. Because the people actually in Sacramento that refuse to let me speak are actually the people who just, you know, a year ago, before this COVID thing, or a year and a half ago, were like the main promoters. They love the World Peace Diet and all this. It's like so bizarre how this thing can split the movement in enormously. So to try to, you know, mend that split. So maybe, and we have some good signs that it may be mending, but it's hard to say. But this whole thing, of course, is a manifestation of a very, I think, desperate attempt to divide and conquer humanity along lots of different fracture points, like race and sex, and now we have this whole thing of who's vaccinated, who's unvaccinated, and we find all kinds of people who are vaccinated are afraid to be with people who are unvaccinated. People who are unvaccinated are now afraid of people to be with people who are vaccinated because of the possibility of them shedding the spike proteins and making the unvaccinated people sick. And I just saw, I'm not sure if it's true, but I just saw news that the airlines are perhaps, you know, a lot of people I know got vaccinated so that they could fly on the airline. That's why they wanted to get vaccinated, so they could travel. And now apparently the spike proteins are causing such a high percentage of people who have been vaccinated to have thrombosis and blood clotting in various ways that airlines are now unwilling to let anyone who's vaccinated to get on a plane and fly because of their liability. So it's only unvaccinated people who are going to be allowed on planes, perhaps, according to some new reports. So we have these, you know, bizarre ironies unfolding, which we'll see, you know, how it all goes. But there's really, you know, it's really a time, I think, you know, I remember my father, I was born and raised in this extremely patriotic milieu. My father was like a flag-waving American, you know, he'd get the gun off the wall when every April 19th, he was one of the Minutemen. We'd go down and reenact the battle and celebrate the revolution where we had freedom from the British and the tyranny of the British. And, you know, his whole thing was to not have government telling us what to do. So he used to love, I grew up hearing him quoting Patrick Henry and, on and on. These are the times that try men's souls, and how don't be a sunshine patriot, to really be willing to give your life. He said, I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country. And that was just like a big thing. I rebelled completely. I went so far to the left, it was ridiculous. And I thought this guy, you know, he's just a nationalist. But I have to say, I can see, there's a tremendous wisdom actually in caring about one's society and their traditions that guarantee our basic freedom of speech and religion and assembly, and to stand up for those, because without those we don't have a movement for animals, and we don't really have a movement for anything if we lose these basic freedoms, and they're really being smashed if we don't stop, if we don't resist, I think. So I'm very grateful to him, even though he passed away kind of young, but we had a good relationship, really, the last 20 years. And even though I couldn't get him to go vegan, but my mother, you know, as you know, she's vegan, and she's now 92, and she's still with us, and I'm so grateful for that. So, but I don't want to rattle on here too much, but just to kind of see that I think perhaps we're finding also, besides all the wounding and splitting, we're finding healings happening. We're finding new alliances being formed. We're finding new awareness arising. We're finding people awakening more and more to shadow powers that have been here all along, and now they're out in the open. So I see this as an amazing time, number one, to just be brave and be willing to stand up for what you believe in, and speak our truth, and to do that even when it may be difficult to do. So I'll stop right there, and we have Andy has her hand up, so I'll go ahead and unmute Andy if you'd like and say a few things. And
there were so many things I wanted to touch on, but I know I don't have that much time. But from what you're just talking about, are you familiar with Catherine Austin Fitz?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see her Planet Lockdown one interview? Because that's the one where she not only, towards the beginning of it, she mentioned the sheep going to the slaughterhouse, but what I loved that she said later on at some point in that one was, Mr. Global looks at us like a different species. And I thought that was so perfect because she is very likely not vegan at all. I mean, I highly doubt it, and she doesn't say anything about veganism, you know, promoting it or anything like that. But when she says, you know, she describes our owners, I guess, as Mr. Global, and she says they don't, you know, that's why they don't care about us. They just literally see us as a different species, like we're cattle. So I don't know if you remember that or if you use that, because now finally somebody else, and she's like some investment banker type person who is making that statement. And I thought that would be such a great analogy for, you know, vegan teachers to use, is that, oh my gosh, ordinary people, you know, can say things like that. And then the other thing, I think what I wrote to you about is this vegan animal activist on Facebook posted that she fell on her face and her nose is busted, and, you know, and she's now in the hospital with the mask, like, hanging from her ear. And I really would love to know, she's a big believer in the mask, you know, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, so I'm so curious and wondering if she had the shot, and is it impolite to ask that on a Facebook thing, or, you know, because I, you know, even if I worded it as something like, you know, I'm really trying to learn, you know, about this. Did you have the shot, and did you have reactions to it, or have you had it recently? Did you have two, you know, things like that? Like, can we even ask these people, as I'm a vegan that clearly is against that, and I'm pretty positive she fully supports that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of a touchy subject, probably, to ask somebody if they've been vaccinated or not, unless you're a friend of theirs or something. It's kind of a private matter, probably, for most people, unless they just want to say, I'm so proud of myself I get vaccinated, or I'm never going to get vaccinated, or, you know, if they're publicly saying it. But there have been an awful lot of reports of people really getting seriously damaged by these vaccines. I mean, it's off the charts. It's never, ever, ever been a vaccine that's been so deadly and harmed so many people so quickly as this one. It's undeniable. And just in like 4 months already, there were more reportings to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, than in 30 years, right? In 4 months, there were more than in 30 years of this COVID vaccine, and it's just getting started. I mean, these spike proteins are for sure hurting people, and I think it's just going to get much, much worse, probably, just because so many doctors now are coming out and experts and saying that they're really toxic and dangerous, and especially for children. I mean, we have now, I think it's 600, this Dr. Peter McCullough, who's probably the most celebrated, respected doctor in the whole United States, is saying, we've got to stop this immediately. We have 600 kids who are having blood clots, strokes, and heart attacks, you know, from this vaccine. It's causing blood clots. It goes into the spleen. It goes from there into all the organs, and it's devastating to people's physiology. And it's just like seems to get worse and worse. And it has some plausible deniability by having, you know, a few months maybe go by between the vaccine and the injury. But a lot of times it's not. It's just a few days. I mean, I just saw a video of two parents who their young, I think it was 18-year-old kid got vaccinated and within 24 hours was dead. And he was totally healthy. He was totally fine. And he just thought, well, I'll, you know, get the vaccine. And they said they called the clinic where he got the vaccine, and the clinic said, oh, it was, you know, it was just a coincidence, and they refused to return the calls. this kind of thing is happening, and these parents are saying, you know, this is murder. They're just murdering people, just killing them outright, just murdering thousands of people. And so, you know, some people are saying this is the, you know, Bill Gates has been talking for years that we need to depopulate. This is, we've been, that depopulation thing, that's something I've fought against. I have fought against the depopulation idea for decades. So many vegans would get up in front of a lot of people and say, well, we got two big problems. We have, you know, people are eating meat and there's too many people. There's too many people on the planet. And I always disagreed with that. I never said there's too many people. There's not too many people. We don't know what the right amount, number of people is. We know there's too many people eating animals. Right. I agree with that. But if people would go vegan, we would have a possibility perhaps to have, maybe we're supposed to have 10 billion on the planet. We don't know. You know, according to people who, when the brain is growing inside a little infant, it needs to reach a certain critical mass. It needs to get about 10 billion brain cells before then the complexity, the interconnectedness begins to happen. So maybe that is a good number. I mean, we don't know what the right number should be, but this idea of a mass culling, you know, culling of the herd, like you say, I think the people, because these are eugenicists for sure. I mean, it's well known that Bill Gates Sr., you know, he was behind, it was all about depopulating and getting rid of the useless eaters. So I think, we're seeing that perhaps, you know, manifesting right now. And I don't think people realize this is, you know, a huge attack on humanity. A lot of vegans have the, which to me is a somewhat perverse view, sort of gleefully rubbing their hands together saying, great, you know, I just want to see humanity destroyed because humans kill animals and I love animals. Let's get rid of the humans. So a lot of, I think, vegans are in favor of killing off a lot of humans. But underlying it, I love humanity and I don't think that's a healthy attitude. I mean, I think we need to solve our problems with love and care and not just kill people off that we think shouldn't be here. That's a really dark path to go down. So that's what I think that's what we're seeing happening though. And so we're being, I think, called now, perhaps, again, more than ever to deepen our connection to our spiritual wisdom and then to practically live our lives to make connections. I've been speaking every single Tuesday, you know, calling up the Board of Supervisors of Lake County, California, where I live, and just haranguing them from the 3 minutes that they allow me to stop, you know, publicizing and propagandizing these vaccines. And these masks, like you say, are devastating. I mean, I just saw a new study of the huge number of toxic bacteria that accumulate inside the mask, especially when they're worn by children. And it's very harmful to people on many levels. What's happening? Children are losing their entire childhoods in many ways. They're getting, I think, warped perhaps for life by not being able to read the facial expressions of people and being told that they're dangerous. That just, that you know, if you just look at somebody and you put a mat, you breathe on somebody, you could kill them. I mean, this deep guilt for even being alive that's being, or for breathing, which is the most beautiful, to share breath together is like, that's, breathe together, that means, we actually get the word conspiracy from that, conspire means to breathe together. But I mean, the whole idea, we should be having benevolent conspiracies where we're breathing together and planning and creating beautiful things. That's really, you know, breathing together is a sacred thing. So all of this, we need to question all of this. This is a divide and conquer strategy, obviously, and I think I'm going over the time here, but I really appreciate, you know, the efforts that you all are making in your own ways to help bring love into our world, bring love and kindness and caring and connectedness. There's so many ways people are doing it, and it's beautiful to make new connections and to see new, you know, meet new friends. We're meeting lots of new friends because we're starting a local group here. We're meeting right now every other week to just try to raise awareness about this, and we're, you know, trying to help them to go vegan. You know, a lot of them aren't vegan. So it's very interesting time. I should probably wrap it up. I know I can see there's one hand here. Go ahead. You have something you want to say? I think, and then we should probably... Yeah, you can, feel free if you'd like to unmute, if you would like to say something.
So I'll just be brief because it is late and maybe something we can talk about. I'd love for you to talk about another time or for us to talk about another time. Just want to say first, really enjoying the articles. I read Spooks, or Spooked. I can't remember what the title is.
Right,
and,
right.
Have been going to some rallies here in London. And so other people that are concerned about what's going on and talking to other people at the rallies about the connection with animals and our treatment of animals. So it's been really helpful to have that literature, so thank you. The other piece I just wanted to say was with Bill Gates and plans to have, like, the fake meats and have everybody go vegan, not for the reasons we would want people to go vegan. And my concern, a lot of vegans being happy about that trend when not really understanding the bigger picture. So I would love to delve into that discussion maybe another time.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, that's actually a very important discussion to have, and it's a little bit murky waters. So I think it would be interesting. The whole fake meat thing is something that is very divisive also among vegans and everywhere. And we have to have our eyes wide open. I think Jesus said we should be, what do you say, we should be innocent as doves, but as wise as serpents or something like that. You know, we have to really look behind all the curtains to see what's really going on. And that's very important. That's very important. This whole thing is based on deception. If we allow ourselves to be gullible and naive and be deceived, then we are not fulfilling our destiny properly. We really need to be savvy and have street smarts and see what's happening here and not fall for the lies and the deception. That's very important. So thank you for that. And it's great to see we have two people from England at whatever it is, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess. So thank you, dedicated people. All right, we should probably, okay, Andy, one last quick thing and then...
From what she just said, I wanted to ask about that because, yes, I know that Bill Gates promotes the vegan meat, and I've heard a lot of that. Right, and so I've heard a lot of that from the community that they look upon disgust at Bill Gates because of this vegan meat, like it's disgusting. But so what reasons was she referring to why he's promoting it? Is there something that I'm missing other than, I mean, I know it's not ethical, you know, it's not ethical reasons for him, but is it environment or is there something I'm missing there?
Well, briefly, I think we should talk later, maybe next time.
Okay.
But basically, you know, he's got huge investments in Monsanto. And so the Impossible Burger is all GMO, right? It's based on GMO type of foods that which are great, you know, for Monsanto. They're great for Big Pharma. They're not healthy. It's not healthy. I mean, people get very sick eating that stuff.
Okay.
So to get people, instead of eating a whole food, organic, plant-based way of eating, to move them toward eating this kind of toxic, genetically engineered food, you're guaranteed to keep people coming into the hospitals because they're eating really terrible food. And so, I mean, that's maybe one angle to look at.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Just the context of the whole globalist agenda, Andy. If you look up Agenda 2021, 2030, you see the overall kind of ruling class aspirations for us are to abolish property rights, growing food, access to everything, access to nature. It's a huge thing, but it's kind of good to be aware of what they're about. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, that's really true. Okay, so I want to thank all of you for joining us. I just realized I went to all the trouble of setting this computer up in the living room on the piano, and I never even played the piano when I was doing the meditation. I'm not in practice. So we'll just have a short piece of music and close. And let our love flow forth into the world. We see the whole earth bathed in the light of peace. We see the heart of caring awakening in the heart of humanity. May all beings be happy. May all beings be free. May all beings be at peace and in harmony. And may each one of us, every day, deepen our connection authentically with the ever-shining light of wisdom and compassion in our heart, and bring our lives into alignment with the truth that we are, and work together to build a more enlightened society that cares for everyone, for all living beings. We give thanks, knowing this is so. And so it is. Now let's just say together our prayer. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Let's say that together three times. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Compassion
encircles the earth
for all beings
everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings
everywhere. Okay, well, again, much love to all of you. My computer is back. It's fixed, so I can get the recording out to you right away. We'll gather again on the first Thursday of July for the satsang, and then the third Thursday of July again for the World Peace Diet Circle. And in the meantime, feel free to stay in touch through the World Peace Diet Facilitators Facebook page or send me an email. Really appreciate all your efforts. Much love to all of you. Thank you again for your efforts. And go forth, please, and multiply this message as much as you can. Much love to all of you. Thanks again.
Thank you,
thank
Will.
You
too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks, Frank. Good to see you. Take care. Thanks, Davi. Thanks, everyone. Chrissy. Judy. Thank you. It's been so great.
Appreciate it.
I mean, I'm going to go eat some figs. All right. And we have something more, right? All right. Bye-bye. Much love to all of you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I catch you. Enjoy.